talking in our life, but we don't always do a lot of listening. But when we get in that place and we listen, I believe heaven shows up. And when heaven shows up, he begins to prophesy and declare some things over Zechariah, that your barrenness is about to switch. Some things are about to shift in your life, and God is going to bring life out of what seems to be barren. And I want to declare that over this year coming up, that God is about to change some things and shift some things, and he's about to bring life out of some things that seem very barren. Zechariah didn't understand it. He didn't understand what that meant or how that was going to happen, and he began to question God. And I don't know about you, but there's been times probably in all of our lives that we've had questions and we've questioned things or we've questioned God. But what God did was silence Zechariah. And I don't believe he silences him out of discipline. I don't believe he silences him out of anger. I think what he starts to do is he silences an old order priesthood so that he can begin to speak a new thing. And he does not open the mouth of Zechariah until Zechariah declares the name, that the son's name will be John. And John's name means grace. At that moment, that priesthood, when he began to declare grace, something began to shift. We weren't naming it what it used to be named. We're not calling it Zechariah Jr. because this season that we're going into is not going to look like where we came from. Where we start is not where we finish. And it has no bearing on what God wants to do in your life. And so as God began to silence Zechariah, he also began to work in Elizabeth's body. And as Elizabeth began to feel something stirring inside of her, the scripture says she hid herself for 5 months. And I believe that was so nobody could talk her out of her promise. But the angel Gabriel also showed up at the house of Mary, and when he did, he said, "Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you." And I declare to you today that the Lord is with you, and he's about to shift and change some things. And when he did, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that began to overshadow Mary. And when it did, it wasn't anything. He said, "This thing that I'm going to do, it's not of man. It's not something that man can do. It's something heavenly." And as he began to speak to her, and he said, "And your cousin Elizabeth, she is going to bear a son as well." And I believe at the power of that salutation, when Mary and Elizabeth came together, the Holy Spirit caused that babe to leap in her womb. And I pray in this season that God awakens that birthing process inside of us, awakens in us what God wants to do in this next season. And so as Mary laid eyes on Elizabeth's promise, I believe it gave her the confidence to trust God for what he was going to do in her. And as we think about this season, and I think about what that means, we read that story and it seems so majestic and it seems so holy and it seems so powerful, and yet I think of all of the things that probably came along with that. But I want to read today out of Romans chapter 8 some of the scriptures there that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart yesterday as I was just putting my scriptures together and as I've been, you know, pondering this week. And it says out of Romans 8, starting at verse 18 through 21 and then 31 through 39, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If it is God that justifieth, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or pandemics or crisis? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded today that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We walked through some things in the last season that I don't want to focus on this morning. I want to focus on Him. I want to focus on the good things that God has brought about in this year. I want to focus on the life that is in Christ. I want to thank God for His strength, for where He's brought us and where He's taken us to. And you know, sometimes, as I talked about Mary and Elizabeth, God catches you off guard. And you just about the time that you think things are looking dim or things are looking hard or looking sad, God steps in and starts to turn the course of your future. And He begins to turn things around. I think about, as we're going to get ready here in just a minute to observe the communion. So if you don't have your grape juice or your cracker or your bread or whatever you want to observe communion with us, go ahead and grab that now. But I thought about the time when the disciples broke the bread and the wine in view of one of the hardest seasons in their life. Jesus sits down with them at the table of communion, and He gets them to focus. He gets them to look on Him, and He says, now guys, I need you to listen to this. I need you to focus on this. And He begins to talk about what's going to take place and how He's going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter. And, you know, He talks about the cross, and the disciples want to rebuke Him. They don't want to hear about all of those things. But He sits down with them at the table on the night before He's betrayed, and He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. You need to focus on this. You need to think about these things. And you know, when He takes that bread and He takes that wine, it symbolized the exodus out of Egypt. When the people and the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt, and they were under the slavery, they were under the rule of Pharaoh. And whatever has caused your bondage this year, or whatever has caused you to be enslaved to anything, if that be the case, during that exodus and during that night season, those people were quarantined in their houses. They said, get in your house and stay in your house. And He said, but you put the lamb on the table, and you put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost in preparation for your exodus out of this bondage and out of this season. And so it was a type of protection over their families from the death and the plagues and, I believe, pandemics of the time. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hang a red bow on my door, or I'm ready to put some grape juice or anointing or olive oil or something on my door that says to the death angel, don't even stop here. You have no place. You have no power over my house, and you have no authority over what God is getting ready to do. How many know God was getting ready to take them out of a place of bondage and to take them into the promised land? And He did that by example of the death of a lamb, the blood that was shed, and families doing it together in the house. Come and behold him. Focus on the lamb today. Focus on the blood. Focus on that bread, that body, which was broken and distributed to all of us. And we say to the enemy, you have no place here. You got to move on by. And so the bread of his body, Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. I am that true bread. I am that manna that came down from heaven. And he made that example before the temple and before the people and before the scribes and Pharisees, saying, there was a bread of the old covenant, but there is a bread of the new covenant. This is a testament of my body. This is a testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the remissions of sins. God incarnate, God with us, the Emmanuel God that took on the form of flesh, that he could identify with us, and that the greatest gift we received was not just in the manger. The greatest gift that we received is in an empty tomb. And so I'm going to ask Dan to join me, if he would, this morning. And we're going to get ready to take our communion in observance of the Lord's body. But as we do this, I want to pray over this. And I want to declare some things this morning. And I want to speak and say that we are not just taking a cracker and a grape juice today, but we are taking the body of Christ, that it becomes bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And that as we eat this bread and we drink this wine, we do this in beholding the Lord's body. We do this in recognition that the scripture says, by his stripes we were healed. If you need healing today, I want you to receive it in the cup. If you need peace today, I want you to receive it in this communion. If you need direction, if you need financial help, if you need clarity, if you need families to be healed, if whatever it is today that you need, I believe it's in the cup. Jesus prayed in the garden and said, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he drank the cup of humanity in that cup. Every sin, every sickness, and every disease, I believe Jesus drank in the cup. So today, as we do this in remembrance of the Lord's body, and we declare, this is Christ in us, the working of the Holy Spirit in us, through us, and symbolically we recognize it in the communion. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26 says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So I'd like to like you to take your bread at this point, your wafer, and we offer this as a communion. Father, we pray that your body that was broken for us, Lord, your sacrifice was enough. Your healing was enough. Lord, for those who are standing in the gap today and calling out to you, Lord, we receive your body in Jesus' name. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This is the signature that signs the new covenant, the New Testament, and it's signed in blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful. Lord, today as we receive your body and we receive your blood, we know, Lord, that it's not in the power of this natural cup, but it's in the power of the cup of the New Testament, Lord. We thank you for life today. Lord, we receive it. We declare it. Lord, we just stand on your promises. Lord, that even today as we're sharing communion, Lord, that we wait to hear the testimonies, Lord, of people's healings, miracles, changes, life changes, Lord, that you bring life out of death, hope out of hopelessness, Lord, peace out of despair, and turn mourning into joy. Father, we thank you and we honor you with that today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from the Christmas story today. Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now even go unto Bethlehem, the house of bread, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Mary and Joseph were declared and sent to Bethlehem, or the house of bread. I like to say it like this. Bethlehem housed the bread, the house of bread. The manna that came down from heaven was in a manger in Bethlehem. But they said, behold, the angel said, behold. I started out by saying, come and behold him. And what the angels were declaring to the shepherds of that day was, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's what the heavens were declaring. And not just to anybody, but he was declaring it to the shepherds who kept the lambs for the sacrifice in the temple. And they had kept the natural lambs in the fields, and those who would be used for the sacrifice of the sins of people. But God opens the heavens on this day and says, I need you to go to the manger and see the Lamb, the perfect Lamb of sacrifice, the Lamb without blemish. You know, it was a time for Mary and Joseph and them where they're not happy with their leadership and Roman rule. There was upheaval and there was chaos, and they weren't happy with how they were being ruled. It was taxing times. They went there to be taxed. It was taxing times. It was a time of financial crisis. We've seen a lot of that over the last season, financial crisis, upheavals in government and leaderships and things like that. There were travel restrictions, much like today. Travel restrictions. She was pregnant and on a donkey. I can't imagine going in my Buick, but going on a donkey to give birth at 9 months must have been quite a journey and quite a challenge. And they were unable to be with family at this time of year. Unable to be with their family at this time of year. There was probably no midwife present. We don't know of anybody who helped with the delivery of Mary. But I think probably she had some preparation when she stood and held the baby of Elizabeth. The scripture tells us that she went to Elizabeth and stayed with her for 3 months, probably till that baby was born, so that she could look in the face of John the Baptist, the one who would be the way, one who would prepare the way for the Messiah and the Savior. Maybe she helped Elizabeth birth her baby so that she would be in preparation for her own birthing. Sometimes you got to just connect with somebody who makes your baby leap. I'm sure that the stress for them was at an all-time level. But one thing we remember today, that where you start is not how you finish. It was a lowly, humble beginning, but yet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords became the Emmanuel, God with us. The angel said to the shepherds, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I ask you today to take your instruction from the heavens. Whatever the heavens are speaking, whatever the heavens are declaring, that's what I choose to listen to. Perhaps God is birthing something in this season that won't look like anything before it. This was a supernatural thing. This was a God thing. And it said, as the shepherds left, that they made known abroad what they had heard and seen. Behold him. What they had beheld with their eyes, they made known with their voice. And they began to declare the day of the Messiah. Mary delivered the one who would deliver us. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful picture. I close today with, again, a focus, O come, all ye faithful. I challenge you in the days to come, don't let the distractions of 2020 keep you from being faithful. Now more than ever, it's critical. Our families and our futures depend on our faithfulness to God and our faithfulness to hear from heaven, and shepherds that will hear from heaven and then begin to declare that in the earth. To every angel that appeared to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, and to the shepherds, the declaration from heaven was, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your focus. Thank you for your families that are connected to us. Pastor Dan and I don't take lightly your commitment, your covenant, your love for us through the year, through all that we go through and all that's been done. I believe God is faithful to us. I believe that he will be faithful to us in the year to come, and I declare that 2021, that our best is yet to come, because I choose to hear what the heavens say, and I'm going to behold him and keep my focus on the Messiah, Christ the Lord. God bless you today. I want to end in prayer. We want to pray over your families, pray over your gatherings. We want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll not be holding services in the building again next Sunday, but we'll keep you posted as to when we can be together again, and I believe that that'll be soon. And so we love you. We bless you this morning. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Lord, that our hope is not in things, it's not in earthly things, Father, but our hope is in you. And Lord, as we pray today and offer that incense of prayer and praise to you, we believe that heaven shows up. And Lord, that you begin to speak grace in our life, and you begin to speak new things, Lord, and change begins to happen. We honor you today, not only with our observance of communion, not only with our lips, Lord, but we honor you with our lives, with our heart, and all that we have, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning, and we wish you a very Merry Christmas.